Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we begin our study in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 of meats, drinks, and holy days. There are those who seem to think God messed up and he wasn't strict enough on his children, so they add their own rules and regulations to the Christian life. Some of the most extreme are vegans and vegetarians, teetotalers, and what we call holiday hunters. But Scripture tells us not to let others judge us in such matters. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 of Meats, Drinks, and Holy Days. This is part 1 of 2.
Thank you. All right. You like? Chris likes that music. I'm going to play it again. And ready? Yeah. It's from somewhere. No. No, it's, I think that's a guy named Kevin, what's his last name? Kevin McLeod, McLeod, M-C-L-E-O-D. McLeod, is that how you pronounce that? McLeod? Huh? McLeod? McLeod? Okay. That's who. As we get started, I just want to point out we have a special guest with us this morning, an honorable guest, I guess you would call this guest, and that is the T-Mom. The T-Mom, Jenny, she leads an she calls it the Albanist. I'm sorry, I'm a member, but I'm not a dedicated member. The Albanist Tea Cult, and she promotes all things tea, and she is the T-Mom. And Marilyn, how do you say your last name? I always say it. Now Jayon. Marilyn, you know who you are. She's got some talent there. That was just... Yeah, that's Buddha. Sometime I'll pull it out again. She put me on the face of the Pope when he's all dressed up and everything, and it was just great. The other current event I want to mention is an anniversary coming up tomorrow for Jenny and I. Yeah, 13 years. She's so excited about it, she's grabbed a handful of tissue. Oh, well, while you're spilling, your cleanup spills, I'm going to talk about how wonderful it has been to be married to you. She's cleaned up a lot of spills. Not all of them were by me. 13 years. I promised her when we got married I would take her places she never wanted to go. I have kept that promise. And but we've gone to a lot of places we did want to go and have enjoyed ourselves. And 13 years. And she's too busy to care about it, so I'm going to move on. There's what it looked like on our wedding day. That's me. We had a Buckeye themed reception. Yeah, somewhere. That was my Buckeye wig. I don't know if it'll let me do that. It doesn't let me zoom in there, but let me try it. Control plus. No, it's a slideshow. So, anyway, we did not do it on purpose. We made our date of November 19th, and then somebody said, "You do know that's the day of the game." And I was like, "I thought it was the following week." And so we'd already sent out the invitation. So we're like, "Maybe we can reschedule," because we're afraid people wouldn't show up. So then it was her idea. She said, "You know, we weren't even settled on the colors we wanted to use." And she said, "We'll do scarlet and gray, and we'll just have a Buckeye-themed wedding. And so they set like a wall like that, only it was blank, and they put a projector. And so after we said, I do, it was kickoff. And we put it up on the wall, and everybody watched the Buckeye game and ate food, and we had a great time. We left at halftime. Yes, we were going to Tennessee. Somebody had actually got us a couple of nights down in a nice little cabin down there. And we were around Cincinnati when I got a phone call telling us that the Buckeyes had won. And we were listening on the radio, so we knew that. But when we got the phone call, it was like, people screaming in the phone. It's pretty exciting. Yeah. As Mariah was just yelling, screaming, she didn't, oh, I don't know what happened, but anyway. Yeah. Really good. Had a really good time. All right. That's your current events update this week. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in the book. And we just pray you help us to understand what we read, receive it, take it in. Lord, we come to this book ready to change, to be changed. And not to press our opinions on the book, but to allow the book to speak. And so we just ask your Holy Spirit to help us as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are in, as I said, Colossians 2, 16 to 17. We're based right out of the text. We're titling it, Meat, Drink, and Holy Days. That just sounds like a good time. Amen. We're set free from ordinances. That's what we studied in the previous study, that Jesus had taken the handwriting of ordinances, the law, and he has nailed it to his cross. And we talked about how that was a practice back then. When you paid a bill in full, you'd take it and nail it, and driving a nail through it, saying, paid. Nowadays, you post it on Facebook or something, or on TrumpTown.com. That's the latest social media craze. And we're set free from man-made rules. Boy, that's one that the fundamentalists hate. Fundamental Baptists have always loved to preach grace when it comes to salvation. Then once you're saved, here's your rules. Here's the list. Checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. No, it's not Santa Claus, it's the pastor. That's what's going on. Yeah, some of you have been in those churches. Say amen, you've been there. And not just Fundamental Baptists. Apostolic got their lists. Church of Christ got their lists. Mormons. We got some saved Mormons, and they used no coffee or tea. Can you believe that, T-Mom?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Jehovah's Witnesses just can't get blood transfusions, so you have to die. And a lot of them do. Now there's been some technology, plasma and all that's helped, but still.
Jehovah's Witnesses drinks coffee every day, but he said that in front of all the kingdom halls, they don't allow bicycles or bike racks because of all the confusion.
Oh, the Mormons, they don't want to be confused with Mormons. That's probably smart. So we've been set free. How many of you feel like you're free?
Amen.
See, that's the difference. There's a fact of feeling like for being free, and then there's feeling it, experiencing it. Just because you don't experience it doesn't mean you're not saved. It's just a fact that you're set free, and then a lot of people get stuck in the midst of all the rules. So let's read about a little bit of this in verse 16, 17. And I want to read verse 15 first. It says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Our previous study was triumphing Jesus, the triumph of Jesus. Then it says, verse 16, 17, read it with me. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now we're going to come back to verse 17, but that's kind of the setting that you put the diamond in. You know, these things that we're going to talk about this morning are a shadow of things to come. And that's the point of those things. And what things? Well, It starts by saying, let no man therefore judge you in, and then it lists some things. It does not say, let no man therefore judge you, period. And that's where we want to start. If you think that someone is wrong for judging you when you are doing something wicked, you are wrong.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It is actually the reason why you are in a local church. Is one of the reasons, is beyond the fellowship and all the, you know, we enjoy a lot about it. There's also accountability. And accountability is out the window today because the first thing people say is something that's totally heretical. When a fellow believer confronts you about sin or error, the dumbest response you can give is, don't judge me. But that's the first response most people give. It's the dumbest, and it's the first. Another one is, only God can judge me. False. That's just false teaching that you'll hear in most churches today. Most of the churches don't care what the Bible says today. And they will teach that it's a sin to judge. And they'll quote one verse out of context to prove it. But they're wrong. Yeah, sound effects. We are not told not to judge. Period. There's a verse that says not to judge, but they put a period there, and there's no period there. You are not told not to judge. What we're told is not to be a hypocrite. We're told not to be hypocritical. So don't be judging me on one thing while you're blatantly living in sin in an area in your life. That's all it says. It doesn't say not to judge. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 7. Some of you have looks on your face like, well, I've never heard this before. This isn't what my Sunday school teacher taught me. Well, you know what? Your Sunday school teacher was wrong if they taught you that. Your preacher was wrong if he taught you that. Your mother was wrong if she taught you that. Your grandmother was wrong if she taught you that. Doesn't matter who taught you. If the Bible says it's wrong, amen? Now look, the first two words is what people will respond with. If you walk up to them and you say, well, you know what? It's wrong for you to be shoplifting at Walmart. You should have paid for that. Don't judge me. What's the first two words in Matthew 7:1? That's all they'll quote. Is that a period after the word not? What you're basically doing is interrupting Jesus. He's talking. Judge not! And then, wait, let Jesus finish his sentence. It isn't done until you see a period. Amen? Look, he says, judge not that ye be not judged. Right there, if you're careful and you read what he's saying, don't judge in a way that gets you judged. Don't judge in a way it's going to come back like a boomerang and smack you right between the eyes. That's what he's saying. Verse 2, he explains what he means in case you think I've misinterpreted. You know the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible? Someone wants to know what verse 1? Keep reading. You'll see what it means. Verse 2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Still not a period there. But I want to stop for a second. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. That means if you're going to judge somebody on one on a standard, be ready to have it flung right back in your face. And it continues, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again, period. So, what's he saying? He explains. Verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? In other words, you may see that little speck in someone's eye while you've got a big toothpick sticking out of your eye. That's what it looks like when you are a hypocrite and you judge people while you are not even right. That's what it looks like. It's that ridiculous. I think Jesus had a sense of humor. And I think when he told this, people went, that's good, Jesus. That's good. I do. These people weren't robots. You know that? And Jesus said this. They got that picture in their mind. They're like, that's pretty funny. Speck in your eye, where you've got a mote. And actually, a mote's like a big telephone pole sticking out of your eye, so it's even more exaggerated. Verse 4. Or the beam, I mean. The beam. What is a beam? A beam is what he was crucified on. Think of that. Verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. That's what equivalent of what you're doing when you confront someone else for something you think is wrong in their life, when you've got this beam sticking out of you. Everybody knows you're not living right. There's something wrong. And then you're going to judge somebody else. It looks ridiculous. Now, the point. He's coming down to verse 5. The point. Verse 5. Read it with me. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. That's judging. But it's judging not as a hypocrite, but as someone who isn't going to point out that you've got a sin, and then you turn around and say, well, you know, who are you? I mean, look at you. I mean, come on. See how that works? So every time someone looks at you and says, the Bible says, judge not. And they always, I don't know, they always add this, lest ye be judged. And that's not what it says. That ye be not judged. Take them right to the text. Open up Matthew 7 and read it with them. Because that's never what God says. He doesn't tell you not to judge. And we're also told, in a nutshell, to judge rightly. Now, why would God tell us to judge rightly or righteously if He's also telling us not to judge? If you look, you don't have to turn there, but John 7:24 says, this is the words of Jesus, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. We're going to come back to this in a minute, but there's a verse totally ripped out of context and abused that says to abstain from all appearance of evil. And a bunch of the hypocrites love to point out and say, ooh, I saw you doing this. Ooh, I saw you doing that. And accuse you of not abstaining from the appearance of evil. In the Bible, Jesus clearly says, you shouldn't be judging like that anyway. You don't judge by appearance. One example is a preacher was seen going into a bar. And it was a dive. It wasn't like a restaurant that serves drinks or even a respectable. It was a dive. Word got around. What's this preacher doing going into this dive? People were gossiping, which is a sin, slandering the guy. You know why he went into that bar? He was not a full-time pastor. He was an insurance adjuster. And he was going in because that was his job. They had a claim. And so he was going in there to take care of business. Wow. See, you judge by appearance and you get yourself in trouble. You see somebody going in someplace or doing something that looks fishy, that's not evidence of a sin. That's judging by appearance. That's not what you do. And now if you find out, you know, 3 or 4 days later, you're reading the paper where he got drunk and beat some guy up and now he's up for assault, you know, that kind of thing. There you go. Now you got some evidence that the guy's doing something he shouldn't be doing. Otherwise, you're just violating the words of Jesus Christ. So look at the words again. Let no man therefore judge you in, and he's getting ready to tell you what things, because that statement, let no man therefore judge you, is not a sweeping statement with a period at the end. There are some matters that we should not allow others to judge us for. So, when someone comes up to you and says, "You know, I don't think this is right," what's your response? Should it be, "Don't judge me"? No, you know what you ought to do? Get your Bible out, hand it to them. Just say a scripture, please, chapter and verse. Show me where that's wrong. Because if you can show me what I'm doing is wrong, and you can prove it biblically, then I'm supposed to repent, confess it to God, and not do it anymore. But if you can't show me from the Bible, in your ear, it's none of your business. Get away, stop bugging me. Amen. Come on now.
Amen.
Make sure you're not asleep while I'm saying all this stuff.
Preach it, brother.
Amen. Thank you. Look what he says. This is the first on his list. Let no man therefore judge you in what?
Meat.
eat that turkey. Amen? Amen. Gobble, gobble.
Bacon.
You don't have to eat bacon or burgers or turkey, but hands off of mine.
Amen.
I mean, one time I ate a hamburger and I slapped on some turkey and bacon just to see what it tastes like. Sweet liberty, Brother Jason. Sweet liberty. Genesis 9:3, coming off the boat, God said this: every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. That one verse destroys all the vegetarian or vegan cults. Now, I didn't say you had to eat meat. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when you go around shoving your vegetarianism or your veganism down everybody's throat, you're wrong.
Amen.
You're not going to judge me about my meat. And I'm not going to judge you while you sit there and suck on a piece of broccoli while I'm enjoying bacon. Amen.
Amen.
See, there's been church splits over this. And it's just like, mind your own business. You eat your veggies, I'll eat my burger, I eat some veggies too. I'll throw on a piece of lettuce once in a while. Amen? And we all get along. Ain't that something? There's this little thing called dispensations, that if you'd learn dispensations and you would force yourself, even against your desires, force yourself to allow the Bible to stand dispensationally, it'd cure a lot of this nonsense. Now, you look on your chart, it's online, but the second row there under Seth was where that command is given. Or no, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. The third under Noah is where Genesis 9:3 appears. Now, that was never rescinded. You see, it's just like our Constitution. Our Constitution has, you know, the amendments and the Bill of Rights. And unless there's an amendment, then everything in that Constitution stands. But then if there's an amendment, it changes something. Now, what amendment was it that was added to the Constitution that said that you can't enslave other human beings?
13?
Huh? 14? Anybody know? It's a pretty important amendment. We got constitutions over here. We're going to pass these out. Is the 13th Amendment... And then the 14th Amendment established additional importance. Let's just get it. Watch this. This is the cure. This is what we do. Same thing with the Bible question comes up. Grab your Bible. All right. So you got an amendment process, and when the Constitution allows something, it's the 13th Amendment. It says Section 1: neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. 13th Amendment made all men in this country free from slavery. Thank God for it. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible works the same way. There's amendments. For example, Adam and Eve, they were told not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How many of you have been real careful about not doing that? You go to the grocery store to make sure you avoid that section. Right?
Yes.
No, because the Bible was amended. He put a cherub with flaming fire, swords of flaming fire going, you know, I don't imagine what it looked like. Scaring everybody off from going back in there to touch that tree. And from that point on, that was not a rule because the tree was not accessible. See how that works? So that's how you understand the Bible. And people just don't care. They'll pick the Bible up and just treat it like a cookbook. Say, today I'd like cornbread. Okay, there we go. And that's not the way the Bible's supposed to be handled. And so when you see this commandment given under Noah's dispensation after he come off the ark, then unless the Bible ever says it's rescinded, it's not rescinded. But it was amended slightly in the Mosaic Law. Here it says, let's go back to the verse there, if I can get it to go back. Every moving thing. But see, then came Moses, and it was, okay, no pigs, no bacon, Oh, what a sad thing. No shellfish. Okay? All right. So if you want to be right with God, then you could still eat meat, but not certain meats. Well, then things changed again. Look over at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And Peter was saved. He'd been born again, had the Spirit of God, but he still was holding on to these rules. And it kept him not only from eating things, but it kept him from fellowshipping with unclean Gentiles. So, beginning of verse 9 in Acts 10, it says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." I'm glad we don't do that anymore, amen? Praying, yes, but not on the rooftop, amen? Verse 10, "And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance," and that's not New Age meditation. God put him in that condition. Verse 11, "And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth." Verse 12, "Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air." And verse 13, "And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Verse 14, "But Peter said, not so, Lord." That's a contradiction. If he's Lord, you don't say not so. Amen? "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Verse 15, "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Verse 16, "This was done thrice." Why? Because Peter's hard-headed. "And the vessel was received up again into heaven." Right there, God is saying, no more unclean meats. And Peter understood that it was meat. It was all those things under the ceremonial law that were declared to be unclean. So we're not going to take time to read, but the rest of the chapter is how he went in and hung out with Gentiles. And this is part of the whole transition from the Day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out to all Jews. And by the time you get down to the end of the book of Acts, there's only a remnant of Jewish believers compared to the Gentiles. And that's why they call the church the Gentile Bride. This was a major event, allowing for a release from the handwriting of ordinances that Jesus had nailed to his cross. They'd already been nailed to his cross, but if you don't put it into practice, it just doesn't accomplish much, does it? Now, I want to, before we move on to the next thing, is what about the Daniel diet? How many of you heard of the Daniel diet? Remember Daniel and the Hebrew children, they only ate pulse and water? And so people are selling books saying, see, if you want to be healthy and live to be 300 years old, then this is how you eat. The reason for the Daniel diet, where the Hebrews would not eat Babylon meat and wine because it wasn't kosher. God never said they couldn't eat meat or wine, but he had rules about the meat and wine they could eat. That was under Mosaic law.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.